With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Liverpool are world champions, Chelsea beat Spurs, and Nigel Pearson got a win.
We're nearly there. We're nearly on Christmas Day.
You're nearly here, isn't he?
So close. So close, everybody.
Can you taste it, Marcus?
I can.
Can you taste the Baileys?
It tastes like mince pies.
Mince Baileys.
I've just had a peppermint treat from the box of treats that were left in the studio.
Did we get sent chocolates?
I think so.
Who by?
I had a Fry's peppermint cream. Very retro.
Are you sure they're for us? Because this has happened before.
Yeah. Me and Jim ate a whole panettone.
Wasn't me.
Who was
it? Don't bring me into your criminal underworld.
Was that this
underworld?
Time last year?
It was.
It must have been, yeah.
Oh, yes.
It was me and you, wasn't it?
I got involved.
Don't bring me into it.
Listeners will not be surprised to know it's definitely me. I think by Marcus's face, I can't be sure, but I think it was probably Marcus.
Yeah. I would absolutely have been involved had I been in the office at the time. I should probably clarify.
To put people into perspective.
Who was it for?
Well, I'll tell you the story. Panettone comes to the office and we couldn't find a label on it.
Thanks very much.
So we were like, oh, brilliant. Someone just sent us one of those. Cracked it straight open, cut it into bits. Ate all the bits. and then at the bottom, there was a little label saying to everyone at so-and-so company.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. And then I thought, but doesn't matter. No one will know.
We've eaten the evidence.
Yeah.
We pulled in the box.
So I put the label, probably gave it to one of the guys to put away, take my fingerprints off it.
Yeah.
And I thought, that'd be fine. That's done. A couple of days later.
They came knocking.
Door knocks.
Where's the panettone?
Have you seen that? Yeah, panettone. And I was like,
not for a couple of days.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
did we buy them another one?
I had to apologise to buy them another one. And I will say this now, I've not named the company because I can't remember. They were dickheads about it.
Oh, they were that?
Yeah, they were.
It was an honest mistake. Yeah. They got another one.
I tell you what.
And they were still dickheads about it.
If another one comes through, in fact, I've been waiting in the corridor.
I know.
To head off the guy.
Yeah.
Mind sweeping. Marcus has got like a blockade, a trade blockade on every other office for Christmas trees.
Free panettone. With Italian treats.
Panettone Gate was a year ago now. I can't believe it.
Panettone is a weird thing, isn't it? Because it's been traditional for about, 7 years?
In this country.
Yeah.
I think
longer in my family. We always have it at New Year, oddly.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think our Italian cousins might disagree with that, though, Jim.
Oh, indeed. But I'm talking about here. Yeah. You have pineapple with your panettone, don't you?
Yeah, why not?
Liverpool are world champions, everybody.
Yes.
That's where we're starting today. It's bigger than the Premier League. It's the FIFA Club World Cup.
It's Liverpool. Not quite as big as panettone.
Not quite as big. They're world champions. It wasn't a bad game, actually. I think Flamengo fans were pleased that they gave Liverpool a game. It took until extra time, of course. Roberto Firmino getting that.
He had a good tournament.
He did.
He came very close to scoring in normal time, you should say, didn't he?
Yes,
he did. A couple of times. The big talking point was, of course, that VAR drama at the end of normal time with Sadio Mane being denied a penalty. And this was one of those ones where it's so difficult with VAR because
no one knows what the rules of football are
nobody,
anymore.
Nobody knows that. But it was strange because I thought actually it wasn't a foul and I don't know what quite happened because you saw the replay over and over again and you saw the replay the referee was looking at and the replay that the referee was seeing, it looked like Manny just sort of kicked up.
Hit the ground.
Yeah, and whatever it was, I can't remember. And I was thinking, I think he's right to overturn his decision, actually. And the reaction of Rafinha and those Flamengo players, I thought, yeah, actually. And then you see it from another angle,
yeah.
And he does clip Mane's foot and really impeded him. It should have been a foul, whether it was in the, or out the box, that's...
Well, the law, at one point in the deep distant past, if the foul started outside the penalty area and continued into the penalty area, the referee was allowed to give a penalty.
Yeah,
I don't quite know about watching it back again now, whether it did continue into the box.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But I passionately thought, seeing loads of those replays and slowed right down and everything, that's not a penalty. Like, the referee, he shouldn't give anything. Mane's just messed that up and whatnot. And then it got into, I think it was only the BBC when Lineker and the boys in the studio showed another angle, and it's like, oh no, he has clipped the bottom of his foot there. He's quite clearly stopped Mane from scoring. I was like, oh, blimey. Mm. Why didn't they, should have given the referee that replay. it was quite a funny one, yeah. Really.
Well, this is the difficulty with it, isn't it? There are still human beings having to make these decisions in very quick circumstances, effectively. And sometimes you do get these kind of storms of lots of different factors as to why it may or may not be a penalty.
We used it as an example, if not in our book, but on a show a while back when we knew VAR was coming in. And I think I used the example of Theo Walcott or a player that quick running into the penalty area and that exact situation happening. Different interpretations, different ways of looking at it, different angles, different slow speeds and that kind of thing. And the only thing I can really remember from it now is that Rafinha was wearing a helmet.
He was,
yes. Mm, don't see them very often.
No, nice to see.
Yeah.
What's happened to him?
The old Peter Chet. What happened to him? I don't know. Presumably he's got some kind of...
Got a bonk on his head.
Yeah, maybe.
Uh-huh.
The doctor says, sir, you have a bonk on your head.
You have one bonk on your head.
We pray not to have further bonks.
Yeah.
Marcus, how did it look for you in the
Flamengo... The bonk bonnet.
What was your perspective of it from the Flamengo dugout?
From the Flamengo dugout. Do you know what? I do love Jorge. No, it's not Jorge. It's
George
Jesus.
Yeah.
Or George Jesus. Big fan of that man and his hair.
Yeah.
Everything about him, really. He's done very well going to Flamengo. He's won a couple of Libertadores with them. Come on, lads.
He's a big celebrity there, according to Andy. Yeah.
Well, he should be.
Yeah. He's got a sort of Michael Bolton vibe.
It's great, actually, seeing a guy who's done pretty well in European football, more specifically Portugal, of course, he's cleaned up there, to then go to South America and actually win the prize tournament of the continent.
Yeah.
And very respectably finished second in the Club World Cup. I actually enjoyed the match. You know, I enjoyed the sort of spectacle.
Obviously, it was clearly very important to Flamengo, which made it quite a good game to watch.
But it turns out that it was important to Liverpool as well, actually. You know, you saw some of the celebrations, although the FIFA officials made sure that Liverpool couldn't fully engage with their own fans after the game. They were like, no, you can't come past here. And Liverpool were like, is there anything in the game that you don't try and destroy?
There were two guys on the radio the other day who went. They went from Liverpool to Birmingham to watch the League Cup, and they went straight to Qatar to watch this.
Oh man, yeah!
Imagine being the person to tell them. By the way, you can't really celebrate. We don't care how far you've come.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolute madness.
Yeah,
but it was it was decent.
Good on them. It's another trophy for them. I mean,
another trophy.
You can see why. I mean, we talked about it, didn't we? And why Klopp took all the team he took, and why he left all the kids to play in the League Cup. And we speculated that it might be to do with the fact that they want to maintain this winning run. They want to just pick up trophies, keep the squad together. Although Harvey Elliott, who featured in the League Cup game, was an unused substitute in this game, wasn't he? He was on the pitch afterwards. I saw him. So. Obviously, clearly, a few of them did go and join up, but you can see why. I mean, they're on a roll. They're far and away favourites to win the league now. Of course,
what 2019 they've had.
amazing, really. I wouldn't be surprised if they've broken all their own records for the amount of points they've picked up. But one, perhaps a little dampener on it. I haven't seen the latest, but Oxlade-Chamberlain went off.
Injured, didn't he?
Is that a serious one?
I think he's been assessed today, actually. Right, okay. So we don't know at the time of recording, but hopefully it's not a serious one, as you say, Luke, for obvious reasons. Especially though, as he not that long ago has come back and he's been in fantastic form.
Yeah.
But Liverpool, they just continue to dominate the landscape, don't they?
And obviously,
absolutely amazing.
It is important, as you say, Luke, to pick up another trophy, but also keep that momentum going.
Oh,
just keep that sort of sheen of invincibility.
That's what Joe Gomez was saying. He was saying that this is what we want. We want to win trophies, and they have done. And I know that obviously the Champions League is by far and away the pick of the bunch, but to win the Super Cup and and the FIFA Club World Cup. They're the trophies that are on up for grabs.
Well, they're the yardstick, aren't they, that you're measured by, effectively.
Is that a trophy that Liverpool haven't won before as well?
So FIFA Club World Cup, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I think they throughout the 80s they'd played, but I think that would have...
That would have been the Super Cup, though, right?
Well, it would have been the Intercontinental Cup, called. Well, it's not the.
It was like a one-off game, though, wasn't it?
It was, off the top of my head. It certainly was in like the 90s and stuff, so I don't know what it was like in the 80s, but I wouldn't imagine it would have been a more expanded tournament like it is now.
Liverpool got a trip to Leicester on Boxing Day. It's the evening game at 8 p.m. and Betway are giving you a payout if the team you back in the winner's market scores first. Mm. That's at betway.com. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble. And do gamble responsibly. If your team scores first, you get paid out with Betway.
Get a load of that. Mm. All right then, let's go back to the Premier League, where despite not playing, Liverpool are still comfortably top of the league. But a little bit further down, Spurs played Chelsea, of course. It was a brilliant win for Chelsea, 2-0. Before we come on to the unsavoury stuff, I just want to say what a great performance it was from Chelsea.
Yeah.
And Frank Lampard, who we were saying the other week, obviously he can motivate players and he seems like he's having a lovely time as a manager. It's always enjoyable to see him sort of smiling away when talking about his players. Not if you're one of the opposition who's got on the end of a Chelsea performance, of course. Yeah. But tactically, set them up in a slightly different way. He said that before the game. He said, well, I think it's pretty obvious, you know, what we're doing compared to what we have been doing. But it worked. And that, especially that first half, Chelsea were absolutely superb. First to every ball, got the goals. And
Spurs, it was like a Conte Chelsea, wasn't it?
It was. Spurs never really got into gear at all. I know Kane had a chance and Son had a little one as well. But really, Chelsea were first... In all departments.
Danny Murphy did a really interesting bit of analysis on Match of the Day too, where he talked about how it meant that Chelsea were able to overload Spurs out wide, and they just didn't change. Like, it was kind of weird that they didn't change.
Mm. Yeah, because obviously that's Mourinho's sort of, you know, built his empire on that, hasn't he? That ability to see what's happening in the game.
But he's always right, though, isn't he? He's always right.
Well, maybe that's it.
So he's obviously saying, no, do you know what? Have you considered the idea that I actually am right here?
We needed a 2-0 loss for me to get my point across.
Post-truth football, mate. I enjoyed Jose Mourinho on Frank Lampard. I will always be grateful for what he gave me as a player, and nothing is going to change that. I love that guy. I will always love that guy. I hope he loses on Sunday.
Fair enough. He said a funny one, didn't he, when he was unveiled as Spurs manager, and one reporter said to him, you said you'd find it very difficult to manage another team in the Premier League because you're Chelsea through and through. What's happened, Jose? And he went, I got sacked.
It's fair, isn't it?
Yeah,
very fair.
Yeah.
Willian and Mason Mount,
very good.
Superb. Yeah,
Willian in particular, I think he's often fairly derided, and I imagine that's because his form can be a little bit inconsistent here and there. But when he's on his game, he's an
absolute world
beater, skillful player, such a silky player.
Jim, and one of those two players is from my hometown. I'll let you fill in the blanks. Which one it is?
Will I Ann?
Will Ian?
That's his name, actually. Will Ian.
But he is. But you're right, Jim. When he plays like that, he is a world beater. You think to yourself, this guy could play for any side in the world. It was absolutely phenomenal, but it was pleasing to see Mason Mount as well play his part. And those two players, it's always difficult to mark when Chelsea, you've got the back three, and then you've got the four across the middle, and then you've got the wing backs who have sort of got the whole of the flanks. But Mount and Willian played that role so well, those sort of two positions, because they can go out wide, they can play in between the lines, and it's so difficult to pick those players
little,
up and mark them.
Raumdeuters, they call them in Germany, don't they?
Is that right?
Mm. I believe so, yeah, which translates to space investigator.
Invaders or investigators?
Investigator.
Oh, that's good.
Space it's always the role of football manager where I just I'm not using that. Yeah. I don't know what it means. Yeah.
Yeah. But both of them were absolutely phenomenal, of course. I did think to myself, like, it's a shame for the likes of Mount and, to a lesser extent, Grealish, Madison as well, that England don't play in a formation which suits them a little bit more, if you see what I mean.
There's a graveyard of players who should have had more international caps for England than they did, and we're about to enter another generation of
couple of them in this room.
Nice way for Toby Alderweireld to celebrate us signing a new contract. Yeah. I bet he was like, oh God.
I know, mate. What about Gazzaniga?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Yeah. Interesting interpretation of the goalkeeper's role there.
Yeah.
I mean, by the way, did the referee give a free kick against the pool?
Yeah. Yes, he did. Even Sanchez, you saw him when it happened, he just put his head in his hands.
Yeah.
And the referee's gone, I think the attacking players failed.
Yeah.
I didn't see this game live. I watched it back. And then when I saw him appear off, I didn't know it was going to happen. And I watched him appear off the side of the screen, coming to the camera shot like a bullet out of a gun.
Okay, out of nowhere.
Yeah. I was like, what?
It's like a wrestling run-in.
Yeah.
Like the ultimate warrior.
Very much inside the box. Yeah. It's the kind of thing, if that was on the edge.
His hand.
I know! It was what about, I don't know, 8 to 10 yards away from
the person most pleased about that was David De Gea.
Oh, man. Take
the heat off me. Cheers for that.
I don't understand it at all.
Surely that's got to be poor concentration, right? He's like, you know, he's not.
It's,
I know, he's just been caught unaware, so he's had to improvise weirdly.
But he hasn't. Yeah, I know. I understand one is sort of grasping at straws to explain it.
Just stay home, mate. Just stay home.
It's one of those Facebook compilations where you just see Sunday league players do that. You're like,
yeah,
oh,
but it's so strange. He could have caught the ball, could have punched the ball, could have headed it away, could have waited for it to drop down, and then. But there were so many decisions that he could have
overloaded. He did all of them at once.
I don't understand.
Incredible stuff, wasn't it? Incredible.
But I thought it wasn't a penalty. I thought that the was it Azpilicueta who was on the end of it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. That is what VAR's for. The referee will be very, very pleased that VAR is about, because if that had not been given as a penalty, that would have been
He'd have been refereeing the Pompey game this year. Also, one thing that was also sticks in my mind about that incident was I was actually really impressed by the way that Was it Azpilicueta?
I think so.
Whoever it was, the Chelsea player, just stood and didn't really get munched.
It
was like hitting a concrete wall.
Yeah.
And he was and you could see by his face, he kind of sort of winced a bit and he sort of rolled up and got up again.
Yeah.
Because when that thing's happened before, I mean, joking aside, that can also be really dangerous. I mean,
happened to
Francis Battiston on
the injury. Yes, of course.
He had his jaw broken, lost a few teeth, got knocked out, all sorts. So, you know, it is dangerous play.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, all's well that ends well. He got a yellow card and it was a penno.
Mm.
But, I mean, I don't know whether the rules allow for it to be a red card as well for violent conduct. I know the double jeopardy thing's in play now. But for the violent conduct, perhaps the referee could use his discretion there. But, of course, he didn't use his discretion because he thought it was a free kick on the keeper. And Schumacher v. Battiston, famously, the referee gave a goal kick.
Yeah. Because it was hit wide. He didn't give anything, essentially.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you wonder if goalkeepers get all the decisions, look no further.
But I understand it's easy for referees to miss things, but that Schumacher-Battiston thing, I don't know if referees should be missing two players hitting each other so hard they explode into a fucking singularity.
You're going back a long way with that one. I mean,
I've still not forgotten
pre-VAR, wasn't it?
It was pre-all sorts of rules, you know. But Son was sent off for violent conduct, of course.
He, that was really strange behaviour from Son. Yeah. He seemed to act as if to go, what are you talking about? I didn't just kick out at him, even though I clearly literally just did.
Hey, Christmas is coming.
Maybe. What do you think, though? Because some people were saying, like Mourinho, I understand he's going to take this side. Well, he's hardly hurt him.
Mourinho did a brilliant shout. He was like, "Oh, I expect him to be in the hospital checking for broken ribs," kind of thing.
Yeah, but sarcastically. I mean, but clearly, though, you know, if someone tries to put a right hand on someone, it's not about, let's assess the injury.
Yeah, no, it's not about that at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's really surprising from Son because he seems a bit smarter than that. Although I believe we've said that already this season at some point. Maybe this year.
I don't think it's, I mean, Pete's alluding to him getting Christmas off there. I think in this particular incident, just red mist. Split second.
He's got that in him. He's done that before.
Right. Well, and Rudiger was frustrating a lot of those players with his performance as well.
It was before, obviously, and not including the obvious nastiness that I'm sure we're about to come on to. Very tetchy game. In a way that suggests this might be quite an entertaining fixture.
Well, it's a big rivalry.
But it already is.
It is, but I think with Mourinho in the dugout of Spurs, that's really going to add some extra spice to it that might kick it up a gear.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was obviously an amazing one where Dyer did everything but get, I mean, how he didn't get sent off in that game just before, which gave Leicester the title a few years ago.
No, that is Stamford Bridge.
He was tanking around Stamford Bridge, kicking the living Jesus out of everything. And, there was one point where you thought, right, he has booted someone up. He's on the yellow. He's booted someone up in the air off the ball. And the referee's waved play on here.
Mm.
And then just nothing happened. Now, I later found out that the referee can't go back and do it retrospectively if he plays the advantage. What he should have done was stop the game. Anyway, we're getting into the weeds. But this game has been fierce for a while now.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you get something like Son doing that, it is ridiculous. But these little moments.
Snapshot thing, though, wasn't
it? These little moments, Cameron. And then, of course, all the sort of alleged racist incidents with Rudiger and just.
That was terrible to see. That was awful.
And the protocol was underway, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was there three
I believe
mentions
so.
On the loudspeaker?
I believe so, yeah.
And normally after three, that's the game that's, is then
the game is
it's a walk off
almost. Isn't
I think
it?
The third one came very, very, very late on in the game, in, deep into injury time. Now that doesn't excuse it. You know, if a walk off needs to happen, doesn't matter when in the game. But that was my understanding of what happened.
There's been Gary Neville's was spoke very well about it. There's a really good article in The Independent written by Miguel Delaney, we occasionally hear on FRD. And he talked to the final sentence of his article was actually really powerful. It said that this is Britain in 2020, so therefore this is football in 2020, because football being a reflection of that. It's really difficult to know where to go, because you find that what happens when this kind of thing goes on, a lot of people, much more prominent people than us, come out and sort of talk about it and you know, obviously criticize it, as they should. But it's difficult to know what the solutions are at this point, and no one seems to have the right answers. I saw that the PFA put out a really strong statement about what they want to do next and what's got to happen. It's gonna, and Peter Crouch was saying as well on TV yesterday that he thinks that players are going to start walking off soon if it happens. He said he predicted if it happens again, he thinks players will start walking off.
As Gary said, the PFA have a duty of care to their players, and if they're not, they've got their side of the bargain, the players walking off is the only
it'd be interesting to know what the sanctions. So these are obviously adult human beings who are going into their place of work and being racially abused. It'd be interesting to know, I just genuinely don't know the answer to this, what it would be like if it were in another employment place of employment in the UK under EU law, what would happen there. Presumably it'd involve sackings and all sorts of things going on, as you'd expect. I don't know why football, which should be governed by employment law as well, is not having that situation as well. But then having said, and Rudiger himself on Twitter said just this morning that it's a brand new stadium with all this CCTV and all these TV screens everywhere. He thinks they should be able to identify them individually and ban them instantly.
And somebody made the point. It's not
and also it. Arrest them for public order offences, presumably.
Yeah, and sort of and actually shout out the sections of the crowd that it's been spotted at in real time. You know, section C, whatever, you're looking around, oh, it's us, is it? And expose that section of the crowd so that they there's a certain level of self-policing, because that's the only way it's going to be.
I would sort of go with you there, Pete. I think the self-policing, but the problem is with self-policing is,
well, it's not fucking happening, is it?
I was at a game, was it last season? Big Premier League game. And it's the first time, I don't know, maybe when I was a young lad, I don't want to be naive, you know, watching football, you know, but it's the first time, certainly from memory, where I can remember a very obvious and distinct racial slur shouted at a particular player. And I spun round thinking, right, I'm going to, and you spin round, and of course, I mean, there's how many people, and you just, I've no idea, you're looking for a particular individual who's, you know, foaming at the mouth, you know, chucking a bit, and it's so hard to, and you look around and you think, And it's gone, and you think, well,
all these, and regardless of that, and all in addition to what you're saying, Marcus and Pete, all these solutions that are posed, self-policing, this thing you're talking about here, that's actually treating the symptom, not the cause. Anyway, what you'll then do is eradicate racism from within football stadiums, but you won't eradicate racism.
Well, and also,
so it's a much bigger problem.
Of course, look at the Man City one the other day. Now, I don't know what, choose your words carefully, because I don't know what the investigation has led to. So you have to say, you know, the alleged racist abuse, even though everyone can pretty much make their minds up about what happened there. But if you look at that fan, that particular individual was then in the papers the next day.
Yeah.
His personal life's being talked about, blah, 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 blah. Now, if you were at all idiotic and stupid and horrible enough to think, oh, you know what, you know, I might shout something racist or something, would you not even, you know, again, in your warped logic, look at that and go, well, hang on a minute, I could be on the papers.
Yeah, but
it's clearly not deterred anybody, because here we go again. And if these things don't deter people, then you just think, as you say, like, we're now at the point where we go, what the bloody
hell? It's a generation of men who had power taken away from them that they've historically always had, and they are raging against it, and they think that by shouting this stuff, it gives them a bit of control back that they feel like they're losing. But it is a societal problem.
Also,
it
is drink and cocaine and all the rest of it.
All that shit. But that's not necessarily going to go away. But, you know, Gary Neville's right. It's systematic of a wider problem, and it all comes down to the way that public life is conducted. And it doesn't come from the football stands. It comes from your dad's fucking WhatsApp group. It comes from fucking little shared memes and all that shit. All of this stuff comes from that. And it's a generation of men who are dealing with a rapidly changing demographic in the country, and they're scared and they're worried that their voices don't matter anymore.
And it's come from the highest office in the land as well. Let's be honest, it's been legitimised in a lot of ways in recent times. And I think what's likely to happen next is that we will see the protocols being followed more and more. Now that this has happened, I expect that other players will go, you know what? I'm sure there's been more incidents that players have just sort of shrugged off or ignored. But I think we're going to see more of this now.
To walk off. I'd back any players to walk off.
As with anyone.
Protocol or no protocol.
You've got to, yeah, you've got
absolutely,
to. Yeah.
Absolutely. Changing tack quite a lot. There's a special mention, of course, for the passing of the great Martin Peters.
Yes.
He played for Tottenham Hotspur. Of course, he was. It was mentioned before the kickoff of the game. One of those players where I knew he was a World Cup winner for England, you know, and a West Ham legend and so on. And you just scratch the surface of his career and you think, what a player.
Yeah, I'm sad that he kind of retired before any of us were sentient.
Mm.
But
I've never achieved that.
We know that what a huge part of the fabric of football life in England he is and will remain. And that's, you know, his memory will live on for that reason. Clearly scoring the second goal, wasn't it, in the World Cup final against West Germany in 1966. So, you know, we grew up with that stuff, don't we? We were football fans. We grew up with that kind of legend. So I spent a bit of time watching a few of his clips on YouTube earlier today and last night. Great player. Made an amazing contribution to the football football in this country. So, you know, God rest him and all the best to his family and friends. Absolutely. I think he'd been suffering with Alzheimer's for some time. So
not the first one, sadly.
No, very sad.
Yeah. Let's move on to Manchester City beating Leicester 3-1. Man City, they showed that they should be Liverpool's main rivals for the title this season, didn't they?
Very much so, because we were talking about that, weren't we? We were talking about how is the balance of this game going to go? Like, who is going to be able to control it? Because that is, you know, both teams' sort of MO is to control a game. And I feel actually when you get the proper really good games between two top teams, it is a battle for who controls it.
Yes.
But City were in control of it when they had 63% possession. Mm-hmm. It seemed like more, if something can seem like more in terms of possession. I think they couldn't quite bring their game to Manchester City in the way that we were perhaps hoping they would. Riyad Mahrez, what a game he had. I know De Bruyne was rightly man of the match, but Mahrez really, really shone as well.
I mean, talking about Mourinho not reacting, I was really surprised that Brendan Rodgers didn't do something about their left-hand side. I mean, Chilwell was overloaded because Harvey Barnes wasn't helping him out. Mm. Chilwell didn't have a great game, but he was up against, you know, ostensibly De Bruyne, although he floated around, and Mahrez, who was fantastic. Yeah. But Leicester didn't really do anything about that. I don't know why they didn't bring on like a really hard-working left midfield player a bit earlier. I think Al Brighton came on later on. But the damage was done by then. I mean, I slightly disagree with Jim a little bit just on the game. I think it went exactly as we said it would go.
Leicester defending.
Yeah, because they're confident. They're a good team. They know what they're all about. And the positions and that Vardy takes up and the pace he's got and his finishing, it went perfectly to plan.
It's a lovely
first
goal.
25 minutes. Brilliant goal. Mm. Even when his second touch kind of let him down, but he still got there. But then, of course, City kind of go up another gear and they found it very hard to deal with it.
Slightly fortuitous with the equaliser.
Yes.
Obviously deflection, but these things happen in football. But then after that...
They didn't compose themselves again ahead of the second goal.
But I think, I know what you're saying there, Jim, because after that, it really only looked like one winner, or there was going to be one team that would go on and win it. And
City were in control of the game. There's no doubt about that. Jim's absolutely right about that.
Yeah, and I think with Leicester, it is Rodgers's, second season. He was obviously there in the last few months of last year. But, I mean... You know, you look at Leicester, you think, go on, have a title challenge. But compare Leicester, compare the squads to Manchester City and Liverpool. The fact is that they were competing, that they went 1-0 up. They're still in the mix. They still, by the looks of it, will finish in the top three.
But they're still
it's
second.
Phenomenal.
They're still second.
I mean, if they finish third this season, even if they finish fourth, what a year.
Absolutely.
What a season, you know. So you can't...
Well, they've got, as we said earlier, they've got Liverpool at home on Boxing Day. If they win that game, Saturday night, is it Saturday night? Boxing Day night, whatever the day it is.
What Boxing Day? Thursday
night. That'd be a great game to watch. If they were able to inflict Liverpool's first league defeat of the season on them, it'd be great.
Well, how do they approach that one then? Because we thought, you know, going away to Manchester City, especially away from home, you know, you defend and all the
well,
rest
listen,
of it.
Seeing Liverpool.
Playing the world champions, mate.
Seeing Liverpool this season, you say a few Hail Marys and cross your fingers. I hope it's the most wonderful time of the year.
At Anfield, they should have got a point. You know, they were very unlucky with that.
Liverpool full of Christmas turkey.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think just put it out, a big banquet out in the away dressing room.
Get the hold of Liverpool's water bottles,
yep.
Empty them and fill them with turkey.
Right. Stuff it in.
So when they squeeze the turkey into their mouths, they eat it.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Would you? No, you choose something else because that is very protein.
Pete's the only one here who's got no problem with that. Okay,
cranberry sauce,
roast potatoes, and gravy.
Yeah, very true.
Lovely.
Yeah. All right then. Well, there's the plan, Brendan. Excellent. All right, let's have a little break.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. It may be Christmas, but we're still working.
Well, sort of.
if you can call
just
this.
Just give you a quick update on the Christmas schedule. We have a Jules and Andy coming out tomorrow, as usual. They're in a minute to record that. They're chomping at the bit, drinking their peppermint teas outside the studio. Wednesday, Thursday, which is Christmas Day and Boxing Day, we're giving everyone a day off. So there's going to be no show Christmas Day, no show Boxing Day. You've all got better things to be doing. But we'll be back on Friday with, I think, me, Marcus and Jim, isn't it? Pete, you're off, aren't you? So it's the three of us doing a preview show on Friday. So you've only got 2 days to wait. Perhaps go back and listen to some of the excellent episodes from our back catalogue.
Yeah.
There's about 1,500 of them. So squeeze as many in as you can. Seriously, do that.
Get in there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Jimmy, what are you saying?
I'm saying that we've still been nominated for an award. They haven't taken the nomination away from us. And you, at home or wherever you're listening, on the bus maybe, you in Leeds on the bus, you can go and vote for us in the Pod Bible Awards. So you can visit podbiblemag.com and you can find all the details there. And please vote for us.
That would be lovely.
But what's the prize if we win it?
£1 million.
A golden schloll.
Isn't that run by Scroobius Pip? So does that mean we get to go on this podcast?
I hope so.
You get a guest rap on one of his songs.
Love that. Vote for us. Oh, we should give a Betway 4 to score update, shouldn't I?
Yes, please.
Doesn't make for great reading, as always.
Well, hang on.
Pete, read it out. Pete, you'll have noticed one of us is looking particularly smug. No, even smugger than usual.
Right, okay, yeah.
Game one, Jim. That's a no.
Yeah,
Ashley Barnes.
Got that wrong.
Game two, Pete. Conor Hourihan. That's a no.
Again, wrong here.
Game three, Luke. Adama Traore.
Yeah.
It's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
Marcus, you really thought outside the box here and went for Jamie Vardy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a yes.
Thank you very much.
The gym monopoly is over.
How did he figure it out? Yeah. How did he figure out?
Just for reference.
How did he figure it out? I got it right.
How did he come up with it, there must be so many permutations.
He cracked the Rubik's
Cube. Hang on a minute. Yeah. Manchester City at home and I went for an opposition player.
To be fair, he's upset. No, to be fair, you're upset, Pete.
Irked.
Enough. Both of you stop, because I should say that two people have shared the jackpot this week, so they enjoy a magnificent Christmas bonus of £50,000 each, and the pot does stay at £100,000 because it's staying there throughout Christmas for that reason. So we'll be back with that next show around. Go to betway.com/4 to score to play for free for the chance to win up to £100,000. But do bet responsibly.
Oh, yes. Now it's time for emails with that guy, PDD.
I think I might just do go for Glold.
You email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now PDD's reading it out. Well done.
Simon Ponting is ponting out. That it is that time of the year again where players are looking to use yellow cards to have Christmas off, allegedly. Players of note from this weekend, Son with the Red, no fucking about there. Callum Chambers, Decore, Jeff Hendricks, Diego Rico, Kovacic, two yellows in his last two games, good effort. And my winner, Ryan Frederick, no game at the weekend, so misses a game on Boxing Day, giving him 2 weeks off. Well planned, sir. A lot of other notable efforts, especially from Wolves. I expect more players are planning for a New Year's break. Thank you, Simon Ponting in Huddersfield. Actually, there's a guy called, I think, James Tortoise, who got in touch last week. He had a full dossier of the players who were in the frame for this weekend.
I would just question Abdoulaye Decore's one, because he gets booked all the time.
Johnny Moore. Hi, gents. After the awful effort on Friday, players who sound like things that can go in a salad, I thought I'd make my own 11 of players that can also be sauces. Enjoy. I mean, we've got David Mayo, Edwin van der Sriracha, Scott Minto sauce, Matt Hollandaise, Patrick.
That's good. Yeah. Don't just gloss over Matt Hollandaise. That's very good.
I really like Scott Minto sauce. Do you know what I mean? Deli Alioli.
That's good as well. Yeah, that's good.
Scott Brown sauce.
How pleased he is with
Scott Brown sauce.
Johnny Moore from Bristol, thank you very much for that. Have a great Christmas, he says. Have a great Christmas. Right back at you.
John Terry, Daddy's Dad of the Year.
Yeah, Daddy. Lovely old job. If you want to get in touch with the show, as always, it's showfootballramble.com. No, it's not. Showfootballrambledaily.com.
Yeah, there you go.
Listen to the bloody music, Donaldson.
Yeah. You okay?
I'm dying. Help.
Mark is just letting you.
I've lost my voice.
Mark has given you enough rope to hang yourself with.
Please have some more. But not too much, of course.
He's generous with his rope.
Now then, we go to Watford. They beat Manchester United 2-0. Nigel Pearson has had an immediate impact.
Hasn't he?
That club. You have to say.
Yeah, he cast a voodoo spell on David De Gea. Yeah,
my God. Because they've beaten, obviously, Anfield, but they were much better.
Yeah. They were.
Considering how badly they've been going away to the league leaders, you'd think, well, they might get thumped. But they weren't thumped. It was a respectable performance.
I mean,
he threatened to attack each player's dog.
Must be.
Watford were good in terms of they were intense, they were on it, they were kind of what you expected. I mean, I might be wrong.
In the context of Watford's season.
Lots of people watch Watford much more closely than I do. But my kind of pigeonholing of Watford, if you like, unhelpful as it may be, is that they're a good, physical, strong team with a little bit of stuff sprinkled on, right?
Yes. So a little Deulofeu sprinkled.
Yeah, a little Deulofeu.
And as soon as they get in the box, they just cannot put a ball away to save their life.
Give me some of that Deulofeu seasoning.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right. And it was typified when Deeney went on and did that post-match interview after Watford beat Arsenal that time. He said, I love it. I love playing Arsenal. All that kind of stuff he said. So it's good to see they've got a bit of that back. Will Hughes moving a bit further back. He can get involved. But I have to say, and I don't think we can say this enough, that Man United were absolute trash.
Yes,
they were trash. And under Solskjaer, who's done a brilliant job of coming in after all this rubble and these ruins has happened, and kind of saying, and in many ways, it's true what Mourinho said when he was punditing. I wish I could have a job at a club that big where all I do is talk about the future. But I don't have to worry about what's happening now. Because what's happening now is trash.
Yeah.
There's no other word for it. They go and play against other big teams and they can get themselves up for it and they do quite well. Away from home and against shit teams, they are trash.
By the way, Watford stopped them playing on the counter And they had no answer to it.
No. If you are going to call the team trash, can you at least do a Brett Anderson impression?
They are trash.
Yeah, Man, you. Yeah.
And they, Jim's right, they had no answer to any of that kind of stuff. They, obviously it wasn't helped by the fact that De Gea, which again, sorry to Aftertime listeners, but a few weeks ago we said De Gea's not looking great. We said the mistake he made a week or two ago was reminiscent of the old De Gea when he first came into the UK. And that was a proper, I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do with this ball, not catching it.
Solskjaer even said that, didn't he? He said that after the game that they've been working on De Gea releasing the ball quickly to start counters. And he said he's probably thinking about the next phase. And, you know, explanation or not, that is such bad concentration. You can't miss a ball and let it bounce in off your face.
And he's not so young anymore. That's a swear song.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Well done, mate.
Okay.
Metal Mickey.
That's all right. You've laid the gauntlet down there.
Now we're all going to be distracted for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
No, but what did you make of it?
Well, I completely agree. And I think that the things that we can only go on with Solskjaer, because we're not at the training ground, is that it, a bit like Mourinho, it does seem to be him just saying, yeah, you know, these things happen with David De Gea. Now, I understand that. And I don't think he should hammer his goalkeeper or any player who makes it an obvious error. De Gea knows that more than anybody, but these errors are happening. But De Gea's errors are not why Manchester United are quite poor at the moment. But Solskjaer, it is all this kind of, yeah, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that. His vibe is quite relaxed. It's almost, you would think he's managing a mid-table side who, you make sure you want to stay in the division, but you're just kind of enjoying the ride. You're taking it easy.
He's also talking a little bit like a manager that has a bigger reputation than he has. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone who's been brought in to turn it around and implement his methods and get things kicking on in the future.
Which that was not the brief.
I think it actually, you know, if you listen to what's come out of the club, it sounds like it is the brief, but I don't know if that's the right brief. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I do appreciate that. If Solskjaer is on the training ground, then absolutely hammering them and going through the paces and so on, you know, the public persona of the manager, or at least what he's saying to the media, may not be reflective on what he's saying in the dressing room. I get that. But that just seems to be the vibe. And looking at the performances and the way the players are, it seems to be what's going on. I mean, it was a plus for them that Pogba came back in and he looked like a player who should, you've got to start him and almost mould the team around him. But we've been here before.
He doesn't want to be there.
Exactly. So we've been here before.
But him not wanting to be there and his patchy form aside, though, it's gone overlooked a little bit. That he's a huge miss. You know what I mean? He's often their best player when he is around, and to miss this much of a season is a huge blow for them.
Mm. I think Man United fans will probably be listening to this, maybe tearing their hair out, saying, look, we've only lost, this is the first Premier League game we lost since the start of November.
Yeah, but it's their worst Premier League campaign thus far,
isn't it? But on the other hand, they're just kind of ticking along fine in eighth. Mm. And if you look at the games in that run where they've not lost, I mean, they still drew with Sheffield United. Okay, they're a good team. But, I mean, even so, you'd expect them to be targeting that as a win. They drew at home to Aston Villa. They were terrible at home against Everton.
I don't think you'll have any Man United fans who are annoyed that we're maybe doing them a miscarriage of justice or something and saying, we're actually having a better season than you may think. I think they are acutely aware of what's going wrong. And I mean,
sorry, they weren't terrible at home to Everton, were they? They were okay, actually.
Well, they drew 1-1 to Duncan Ferguson's Everton.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
You know, they're going to be disappointed that they never won that game. Yeah. It's been a piss-poor season at best for them thus far. They're going nowhere, really. And it's like Solskjaer, he is learning on the job. You know, this is not an established manager, as we know. Is he going to become a better manager very quickly? Most people would say probably not. Doesn't mean to say he's a terrible manager, doesn't mean to say he doesn't have a future or could manage another, you know, another sort of Premier League club or something like that. It would seem unlikely. But the whole thing at that club is, I mean, there's slight parallels with a club like, say, an AC Milan or someone like that, who you look at them and you just think, it is all gone wrong.
You know, down in mid-table, and then they got pumped at the weekend.
They were beaten 5-0. So it's like in that, it was a former giant of European football. One of those clubs that if they came knocking, the player would have to go, it's Milan or it's Manchester United. I have to go. And clearly Harry Maguire hasn't got the memo on
watching
that one. Yeah, exactly.
But I think, you know, look at the Watford side of the sheet. They could upturn all the different stats and about being bottom at Christmas. I know West Brom have done it, but generally speaking, the start they've had, has been so poor. But they're only 6 points from safety because the league is as it is this season. And if they can apply that kind of application, now they've got Deeney back, who's a big, I mean, he represents a lot more. He almost represents for them what company represented for Man City.
Yeah.
They've got a real chance because they've got Sheffield United on Boxing Day. They've got Aston Villa at home. They've got Wolves at home. And they've got Bournemouth away. And I mean, you can pick up some serious points there.
I think they've got all the conditions they need to sort of get out of this, because obviously not just Deeney's presence and his goal, but the celebration of Deeney's goal showed that that squad is actually very together. The fans were amazing as well. It was so loud down there, which is exactly what you need in this sort of situation. Obviously, Nigel Pearson's been there before, and big Craig Shakespeare's back. The beautiful ones.
There you go.
So I think actually Watford have a really good chance, even in this context.
On the Manchester United side, when Pogba came on, I thought like he provided a bit more of a calming kind of influence. Like he did a couple of like flicks and stuff, and I was like, you know what, you kind of need that when your team's 2-0 down. Everyone's just losing their heads and they're just kind of like they're misplacing passes.
But he
calmed it down, and Peter Crouch said on Match there too, like, you need to build your team around Paul Pogba. We said that
moments earlier, and we'll have this about Pogba. We know his quality. He'll come in there, and he's basically trying to play his way to a next move. His agent, Mina Raiola, is going, by the way, if you do want that move, you are going to have to actually play a bit of football.
With
Watford, they've got quality with De La Feu and one or two others, as you say. And it is that sort of grit and steel and determination they need. And Nigel Pearson, it's fair to say, will provide that. All right, Len. A great win for Southampton away to Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Talking about down there. And Southampton are at the relegation zone.
Yeah.
Hasenhüttl's got them out there.
Yeah, I wonder if that 9-0 was actually a really good thing for them.
Well, I mean, how many times have we
good
said that?
Good thing for me.
Yeah, it was.
Danny Ings, though, among the goals again this season. He's having a lovely time. That second one, what a turn and finish.
Oh, brilliant.
But when you've got Ings scoring goals like that, and you've got a bit of creativity.
Confident goals, too.
Very confident goals. When you've got a player like Ward-Prowse, who's providing a bit of creativity and whatnot, again, you look down there, actually, it could be an enthralling relegation run-in. If the title's going to be wrapped up by flipping February, by the way it's going, the relegation running, actually, we've just said Watford could get out of it, and they're bottom. Southampton have just, you know, got out of the relegation zone at the time of recording. They're looking okay. Villa, I'm worried for them.
Same.
Very worried for them.
Villa and Norwich are the two where you think you're really up against it.
Indeed, I think it's quite intriguing. But yeah, Aston Villa, I mean, Grealish is... Villa fans probably get annoyed when you say, oh yeah, Grealish is the sort of standout performer.
Lovely goal.
Beautiful goal, yeah. But it does seem to be the case. You know, they're not quite there. You think to yourself, oh, it's Aston Villa, they're an established Premier League side. You look at Villa Park, it's a proper stadium. They've got some all right players. And then you think, actually, hang on a bleeding minute.
They can't defend. They just can't defend.
They really can't.
They give away such terrible goals. And Danny Ings is really benefiting from being, what it looks like to me, being properly fully fit, like fully match fit. I mean, he went to Southampton on loan initially, didn't he? Because he had such bad luck with injury.
That's right, yeah.
And now he's kind of established himself. I think he's played quite a lot this season.
It's great for him because that injury knocked him out for so long.
Yeah.
And it was such a shame because he got moved to Liverpool and so on. I'm so glad that he's performing consistently and getting goals in the Premier League. So it's great for them. But yeah, I mean... Old Villa. I do worry about them.
Well, looking at Marvelous Nakamba's kind of slightly loose control, you'd probably say.
He's defending so bad.
You can't do that in the Premier League. You just can't.
Not with a goal pervert like him around.
No.
Danny Ings.
They might get away with that in Club Bruges, not in Aston Villa in the Premier League, in a relegation battle.
It's true.
Sigh out Marvelous.
They've got Norwich at home next, Villa, which is an absolutely massive game. I think they're very, very different teams. I think you're right. Villa defend very, very poorly and they concede stupid goals, get themselves into silly positions. I feel like with Norwich, if they're on top in a game or if they score first, they get really nervous and they let the occasions get to them. And
they seem to
really
massively run out of steam.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it'll be really interesting to see what that combination creates in terms of this game.
Mm. Let's go up the other end of the table, because Sheffield United are fifth. They're fifth at Christmas.
Wonderful.
You love
to see it.
It is magnificent.
Yeah.
And you think that Chris Wilder would just be pretty content for no one to mention this at any point.
Yeah,
just send a ghost in there, and just no one give him any attention.
Absolutely.
And before you know it, it's May and they're in the Champions League. Amazing, really.
It is incredible.
They are defensively so good. They're so coherent as a unit. Everyone knows what they're doing. I think it's only Liverpool and Leicester that have conceded fewer goals than Man City this season.
Yeah. When Leicester won the league, you remember when a lot of clubs, understandably, were a bit
they're
like,
not going to win the league.
No, but a lot of clubs understandably thought, look what can be achieved.
Mm.
Now, that is particularly an outrageous, the outrageous example, the anomaly of all anomalies, if you like. But it still can encourage people. But this actually, with the, what Sheffield United are doing, should serve to show clubs actually what, in a more realistic sense, what you can do. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have star names in there. Most, a lot of those players, a lot of people who support Premier League sides might not often have heard of them. Mm. When you look at that side, you think, who are the sort of... there are standout performers in terms of their performance, but in terms of the names and so on, there isn't really. Not sort of big international-type players.
They've not overthought the Premier League, I think.
They've not overthought the Premier League.
They defend man-to-man and they're very direct.
Exactly.
And with the entirety of the league seem to be obsessed with, like, let them have the ball. Sheffield United will defeat you like
indeed.
Because you ain't going to get one past them.
No. Defensively, as you say, they're phenomenal. So when you have a squad of players like that, if you get the system, and as you say, like, everybody knows what they're doing, everyone's pulling in the right direction.
They're comfortable without the ball. That's the thing. They're comfortable to not have it.
It's hard to find the words and to describe it all, but what he's done with that side is absolutely superb. And again, this is not a sort of a young manager who was, you know, an assistant coach of Guardiola for years. He's a guy, he's worked his way up through the leagues. This is what can be done.
He's not found his ceiling yet as a manager, Chris.
No.
Player. Yeah, he really hasn't. And I think
imagine if he never fought, he just keeps, and he starts winning trophies.
Well, there was a guy on Radio Phoning the other day, a Sheffield United fan, who said that he's worried they're too good and they're going to lose him.
Mm.
And he said that it's been such a shame because they've had such a great
time. Well, that's the test, isn't it? At the end of the season, if Sheffield United finish fifth, if they finish in the top half, it's a hell of a season. Yeah. But if they finish up there, you're right, will people come sniffing around Chris Wilder? But I like the fact that he looks like the type of guy that just will be like, I don't care about the bright lights.
They've only lost one game in the league since the 28th of September.
Yeah.
And that Man United game, I mean, obviously we mentioned Man United earlier, they should have won that.
Yeah.
They got pegged back in quite dramatic circumstances.
Very unlike them.
Yeah, they were by far the better team, Sheffield United.
Unlike both sides, really.
Yeah.
That game.
Yeah. Because they were 2-0 up, weren't they? They ended up equalising to go 3-3 in the last minute.
That's
it's a crazy game.
Incredible.
That.
Let's stay in the top half of the Premier League.
Yeah, because that one team that's beaten Sheffield United between now and September, Marcus, who was it?
It was the great Newcastle United.
Yeah.
If we're bad, I win. If we win, I win. I'm a winner.
Yeah.
I'm tired of winning, guys.
You've carved that niche out for yourself.
Yeah, ever since we had that little debate about how good a job or not Steve Bruce is doing, I mean, they've had some great results. They won again, of course. I stress the word again. They're ninth at Christmas, same points as Manchester United, one behind Spurs. They're seven or fourth.
Did anyone, that might be quite fun.
Yeah.
But did anyone watch that match? It was the worst match I've seen in 5 years.
I'm just saying
it was terrible.
Where do you go? You've won a Premier League game, one. You kept a clean sheet.
It was a terrible match.
You're ninth in the
league. Almiron scored from an Andy Carroll knockdown.
No,
what more can you want?
Incorrect. Talk about it.
He didn't get the assist. Incorrect.
Did he not?
Why not?
I've no idea. I'm looking at it. He had his assist chalked off.
Opta have not given it to him. I've just checked.
Got injured.
Did it come off the defender? Maybe
I can't remember. All I can remember is his disgraceful celebration.
Andy Carroll's or Almiron?
No, Almiron's, yeah.
What, because he took his top off?
Oh, I haven't scored for ages, let me do it. Oh, the
it
law shouldn't apply to me.
So
pathetic.
Good. That's a little great. Ball, hugging the ball boy, and then everyone joined, and then Andy Carroll, the cherry on the cake. Yeah!
Massive heavy cherry.
Big
collapsing the cake.
Big heavy long
cherry. The pineapple
cherry
on the cake.
Is this cherry too long? Yes.
Yeah. Here's a cake I've lovingly baked, and now I'm going to put a 200-pound cherry on top of it.
Do you normally put an anvil on top of a cake?
Jeez, yeah.
Marcus, so, did you know that's Steve Bruce's first win over Roy Hodgson in 8 attempts? And you think sometimes a manager's... just finds the right club,
finds, level.
You know, finds the right environment where conditions are perfect.
As I said, I win whatever, Jim.
I don't know if you saw the game, but it was absolutely dreadful.
It was the worst
Newcastle United game in 5 years.
It was dreadful.
They've not had... I mean, what an awful result.
Yeah. And the circumstances.
I mean,
boring.
Pete, what's got to happen here for you to wake up and smell the Bruce?
He said it about the win over Southampton. Mm. He said it about the win over Bournemouth as well.
Yeah, they were all awful.
Nine points.
Awful football matches.
Yeah.
They were awful.
He said it about the draw against Brighton.
What do you want to happen, realistically?
I'd like us to start playing like a football team and less like what I saw yesterday.
Not at Christmas.
Would you rather then? Okay, let me put this to you.
Right.
They play brilliant football. It's really entertaining every game.
Mm.
But they just go down the final game of the season.
Luke,
would you prefer that to this?
I would like you, the night before Christmas, where nothing is stirring, not even a mouse.
Yeah.
You watch that flipping game I sat
through. I saw it.
It was dreadful.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. What did you watch it on?
I watched it on a stream. I enjoyed it, Pete.
I enjoyed it.
I can always find something to watch football because I feel very, very lucky and privileged to do this job.
7 points or fourth.
Yeah,
I like it. It's good. Right, I'm enjoying it.
Oh, okay.
To be honest, I'm enjoying it. At the risk of turning it back on you, Marcus, okay. I will do it because why not? It's Christmas. I don't think you should be able to say 7 points or four. I think it should be a reference point if it's like 5 points or fewer.
Okay. Well, could be the next game. They're one win of being. They're potentially one win off being credibly mentioned for the top four spaces.
I mean, because Brighton are only 12 points or four.
I think only 5 points separated like fifth and 12th.
Yeah, it's close.
Like that. It is quite
but
close.
What do you think about, because obviously, as I said, Steve Bruce's Newcastle are going to Steve's old stomping ground at Old Trafford.
Oh, yeah.
And previously would have been like, well, that's a rollover.
No, there's no more Brucey bonuses.
Not now.
As we saw at St James's Park.
Not now.
Out
of business.
Yeah. So they could pour more misery on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah, I'd say.
Who can then throw a 17-year-old kid off the bench in the last 5 minutes ago. Did you see him?
Yeah.
Did you see that young player?
Yeah,
the future.
Yeah. Indeed, yeah. But of course, we are moving into the Christmas period if we're not sort of already there. And some players will be having a bloody good time. And we saw that at the darts, didn't we, Pete Donaldson?
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan Pickford. Bring it on the rave.
Sinking
a pint. Taking a long time to drink a pint for a man so huge.
It
definitely was Pickford, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It was. He's taken advantage of the fact that the old manager's gone and the new one hasn't started yet. So.
He's thinking it's very relaxed under Ancelotti. I should get away with this.
Yeah.
Make sure, though, you've got Big Duncan still at the club.
Can I go to the darts? Yes, you can. Be sensible. I will. I'm going to stand on a chair and down a pint.
Yep.
There are about 15 people around him with camera phones pointing at him. He doesn't care.
And Charlie England's number one.
Did he drop the pint?
No, he didn't.
Exactly. If you can't enjoy being England's number one and down on a pint at the darts, Duncan Ferguson has been seen doing worse.
A lot worse.
But are you really going to call him out on that, though?
I don't think so.
You did worse than I did.
Several judges have.
Get off me, get off me. He did another sub for a sub, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Mm. And he actually brought Moise Keane on as the
But I don't. I think it was Cenk Tosun, right?
He
came on after like 10 minutes, and then he came off with 10 minutes to go.
It's still
like,
funny,
it's
though.
Still. It's on his record.
One thing that particularly caught my eye over the weekend was there was a safe standing part of the stadium at Kilmarnock.
Right.
And he came up in Scotland. And the only two people in the stand were photographed sitting down.
Lovely.
It doesn't get any better.
Yeah.
It's not getting any
better.
It's
early days. It's the first one in Britain that's been funded by fans, I think, that one.
That's right. Yeah.
And they're not even using it.
Both of them are.
It was completely empty.
They're not sure.
Because Celtic have got one.
That's right.
But good old Killy.
In the French league as well, Nice v Toulouse, there was no VAR. Did you guys see why there was no VAR? Because rodents chewed through the cables.
Wow.
Look, if cables are delicious.
Why would they not choose armoured cables? Get the armoured double insulated cables.
Yeah. Armoured cables.
Cables are delicious.
Pricey.
Yeah. Did you hear Robin Cowan's Alan Partridge reference on Match of the Day? Starting her commentary on the highlights of the Norwich game, she said, if Norwich is to get their second season, they badly need 3 points here.
Oh, nice. That's a little subtle one.
Very subtle.
Nice.
That's the way to
do it.
Very
good.
It is. Only proper heads like Jim will pick up a deep cut like that.
Yeah. Good old Jimmy.
Now all that's left is to say Merry Christmas to all our lovers.
Yes, everybody. Yes. Merry Christmas.
Children playing, having fun.
Uh-huh. The kids jingle belling and everyone wishing you be of good cheer.
Yeah.
Because it's the most wonderful time of the year, Peter.
It is.
God rest ye, merry gentlemen.
Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to this Football Ramble. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thanks.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You,
and thank you, Steve Bruce. We'll be back on Friday, of course, to talk about all the Boxing Day games.
And Jules and Andy tomorrow.
Smashing.
Merry Christmas.
Good everybody now!
This was a Stakhanov production.
I'm a true Geordie. Can I have my money now?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.